Good afternoon, and welcome to Gila Members Community Radio. My name is Kyle Johnson, and thanks for joining us here. As some of you may know, and some of you are soon to find out, there is an event that's coming up here in about a week. It's the 60th anniversary of the film Salt of the Earth, which is of historic significance in a number of ways. And we're here with Dr. Luis Quiñones, and he is an historian, a professor, and has been quite involved over the years in the research into the events of the Empire Mine Strike, of the film itself, of Salt of the Earth, which is going to be shown here during the festivities, and also a musician who carries on. He conveys the culture and the tradition and the history and the stories, not only in his academic work, but also as a performer. And so we're delighted to have you with us today, Dr. Quiñones.
Thank you, Kyle.
Welcome to GMCR and KURU.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Let me just say just a little bit more for those who haven't heard about the event. This is the 60th anniversary of the film release, Salt of the Earth, which was a bit of a well-kept secret for a while. There were a lot of people who wanted to keep it secret. It was actually filmed. The principals, the writer, director, and producer were all part of the Hollywood Ten, who were banished, basically, from working in Hollywood during the evils of the McCarthy era. This was also the era during which the Empire Mine Strike occurred, right here in Grant County. And that happened, the actual events happened a few years before. This is the 60th anniversary of the film, but it would have been just, three or four years, something like that, before the film was released that the actual events occurred?
That is correct. It was 1950 to 1952 is when the strike ensued.
Yeah. And the strike took place over that long a period of time?
It started in October of 1950, and it was finally settled in January of 1952.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those stories that's for the ages.
Indeed.
Got a lot of national attention, and I guess you know the story already. But
I could certainly stand to hear more, and I'm looking forward to hearing more from you.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was one of those things. The Grant County had been under the auspices of segregation for over 100 years since the invasion of the United States and the taking of this territory. So about 1950, the people had enough of all the injustices, et cetera, and the Empire Zinc workers went out on strike in October of 1950. Over wages, equal pay, and of course there were racial divides also. There was the work for the Anglos and the work for the Mexicanos. And then also in the community, there was a lot of segregation. Schools were segregated. Swimming pools were segregated.
Yes.
Drinking fountains were segregated. A lot of silly things were going on at that time. The strike came, and so the men went out on strike, supported by all the workers in Grant County and around the Southwest. And in 1951, almost 1 year later, the judge marshal here, the Grant County district marshal, district judge marshal, issued an order prohibiting the men from picketing. And if they picketed, they would be jailed. So they tested it, and some of them got jailed. So they thought the strike was lost. But there was one item in the bag of tricks. And that was that the women volunteered to take over the picket line, since the order did not say anything about women. They took over, and it was an incredible, incredible story from then on. Women from all over the Southwest, from as far away as California, Arizona, Colorado, from El Paso, all over New Mexico, they came to join the women as they picketed, they sang, they marched, they prayed the rosary, and
that in itself is a pretty exceptional circumstance, isn't it?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah, to have women undertake at that period of our history, which is not that long ago, but to have women assume such a forward, assertive, and powerful role in social justice issues.
That is correct. And, you know, there was a little bit of resistance. There was some resistance by some of the men.
Mm-hmm.
But other men saw there was no way out. And as the film, The Salt of the Earth, captures, all of a sudden the men were doing the household chores, the washing, changing the diapers, hanging the clothes out on the clothespin, on the lines and everything else.
So. Well, men are more adaptable than some folks think.
Well, it happened there with some of them. It was interesting. But then the county sheriff's, law enforcement, together with the mining companies, they went after the women too, and they were they were assaulted, they were tear gassed, and they were jailed. There was an incident where over 100 women were sent to the Grand County Jail with, along with a few babies.
I'm sure that you're well aware of Rachel Valencia.
And Rachel Valencia.
Yes, who's been interviewed here recently.
Yes, yes. She was a teenager at the time, from what I understand, and she actually got hit by one of those one of those cars that was trying to break the picket line.
It's remarkable.
It was remarkable, and the like the film captured at the end. They it's such an emotional film, and such a beautiful film that well, the company had no recourse. They said, well, we better settle this thing. These people are too united, and they were. The empowerment was amazing. The empowerment that grew out of that strike. And then Michael Wilson, the scriptwriter, who actually wrote the river, the script for the Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Yes, one of my favorite films.
Oh, he was famous, great actor. He was here in El Paso, from what I understand, and he came over to see the picket lines of the women. He went back and. And got together with some of the Hollywood 10 and said, we got our story. We got our story.
Fascinating piece of history here. And one that I moved here. I first came here in 1979, and my godparents had moved here. And they, actually, my godparent, Lou Gilbert, was an actor who had been blacklisted. And a wonderful man. And he and his wife, Martha, were always very kind and also very inspiring to me. And so to be in this place where these events took place made me, I think it had something to do with my decision to be here. I wanted to be in a place where such a thing was part of its culture, part of its history, and most important, part of its people.
Yes.
But some have talked about the event as though it were not a victory, as much of a victory that it was, because the mine actually shut down rather than comply, didn't they?
Well, some people have said that. As a matter of fact, there was that one of the books that's out there says that the mine didn't, it closed down, but guess when? 1969. And they're trying to, you know.
I see. So those events are widely separated.
Yeah. So they did not close down because of the strike. It was 1969 when zinc prices started taking a plummet and it was becoming expensive. I grew up 3 miles from Hanover. And I, of course, there in Bayard, we knew all the people that were involved with the strike.
Yes.
And some against the strike, you know, find all kinds of folks. But no, 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 it was a victory. It was the greatest labor victory, in my opinion, in the history of New Mexico. And what a legacy they left us.
Well, I'm kind of intrigued that even at this point there are continue to be labor issues at the mine, at the university, amongst the unions, you know, AFSCME and so forth. And, you know, that struggle continues there. I think that it's a universal and a constant, even though there has been obvious progress in a number of areas.
Right.
It's elusive to me somewhat of finding that spirit. It seems that it's there, but it's somehow diffused in a way that it's hard to identify. Where's the center of that energy today?
Right. You know, and nothing happens by accident. If you look at our, I was a public school teacher for many years. If you look at our school books, history books, labor is very, very seldom, if ever, mentioned.
Yes.
The progress that was made in this country from the 1930s.
Right.
And then some of those policies that FDR instituted, Social Security, for example, and then some of the other where they started paying attention to the working class, where the working class got together and said, you know, we can improve our conditions. And they did. And now it's kind of sad ever since the Ronald Reagan era, it seems. I'm not saying that it started there magically, because it's always, you said the word, it's always a constant struggle. But the war against unions is in place. And the working class is not winning at this point, in my opinion. We really need to organize and start education.
Yeah, I've there are actually, I think, a few different bumper stickers that, you know, that refer to the accomplishments of unions, how important they are, and now in a way that's either ignored or forgotten or set aside. But the one that I said, one that I saw that I really liked said, "Unions, the people that brought you the weekend."
That's right. That is correct.
You know, the 40-hour week, child labor, safe working conditions, right. All of these things are a direct result of unions and the idea of those who espouse this kind of free market approach to organizing our society, and would have you believe that there is no other possible way to do it.
Right.
Ignore the fact that we would still be living under conditions that were as those before FDR.
That's great.
If the union movement had emerged. It was not forthcoming and obviously is not something that is high on their priorities at this point in time.
Right. So, and as you said, you know, you mentioned a few of the items. So much progress was made through the solidarity brought together by the working class fighting for the rights. And you said the weekend, 8-hour day, even lunch, even a lunch period for the workers, sick leave, retirement, pensions, all that came because of the advocacy of union people and struggle.
I'd like to see that that this anniversary perhaps creates a resurgence in that awareness and a reconnection with that, the dynamic of these people and this place that made the Empire Mine Strike a success and made the Salt of the Earth a possibility, to see a resurgence and a rebirth of that, so that people now who are now being referred to as the first generation of Americans who will not do as well as their parents. That's a pretty serious blow to the fabric of our society and the social contract.
Yes. I feel your energy. I feel your emotion. And one of the greatest, I guess I'll use the word insult, that we could... that could happen to the legacy of the people of the Empire Zinc Strike was to let their legacy die off.
We're going to take a little break here, and we'll be right back here with Dr. Canones and talking more about the Salt of the Earth, the Empire Mine Strike, and the history here in Grant County. We'll be right back. You're listening to Gila Members Community Radio, giving Grant County a voice and a choice 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. GMCR provides music, arts, culture, news, and public affairs programs in English and Spanish. Thanks for tuning in. All right, welcome back here to KURU and Gila Members Community Radio. Here we are with Dr. Canones, Dr. Louis Canones. And we're talking a little bit about the Salt of the Earth, the Empire Zinc Mine Strike, and its legacy here in Grant County, and actually is an example throughout the world. But tell us, Dr. Canones, a little bit more about your background. And so you grew up here.
I grew up, my family came to Grant County, I think it was about 1959. And so I went to school at Covarrubias High School, went to college at Western New Mexico, and transferred to New Mexico State University because they had a journalism department and a cinema department. 1973, I'm sitting in my cinema class at New Mexico State University, and this movie comes up. Oh, we're going to watch Salt of the Earth. So my friend and I, Johnny Wadiana from Bayard also, we're there sitting looking at the movie, and then we say, hey, that's Juan Chacon. What's he doing there? hey, there's Lorenzo Torres. Yeah. There's Anita Torres. And when I walked out of that showing, there were two emotions that were in me. One of them was enormous pride that my people in Grand County had fought back against these injustices. And the other emotion was anger that nobody had ever told me about the salt of the earth and the Empire Zinc Strike. And ever since then, I made it a point, I'm going to learn as much as I can about this topic. And actually, you know, for 23 years, I've been publishing what I call the Raza Peace and Historical Calendar. Mm-hmm. So I did a commemorative one for the Salt of the Earth also. I wrote a corrido for Juan Chacon, who was the actor. As you know, you said the word blacklist, so they couldn't find any actors or many actors to come and perform. So many of the local people were the actors, and the lead actor, male actor anyway. Protagonist was Juan Chacon, who was a miner and later became the president of the local 890 for over 20 years. And I wrote a little corrido being a ballad. Is this a good time for me to
I think it would be a wonderful
approach
time
that?
To do it. Yeah.
Let's do a corrido de Juan Chacon. Let's see what you think. It goes like this. I sang it at his funeral. At the time, I was writing an article in the Daily Press called Opiniones de Quiñones. And the person that I was going to interview next was going to be Juan Chacon, and he passed away. So I never got a chance to do that interview, but we wrote this corrido and we sang it for him at his funeral. It goes like this. En los minerales del cobre vivía un hombre de valor que peleó toda su vida defendiendo al trabajador. In the mining district of Cobre, there was a man with much valor who dedicated his life to defending the working person. Juan Chacón, así se llamaba, siempre luchó por su gente. Los prejuicios de los hombres los peleaba frente a frente. His name was Juan Chacón. Juan Chacón así decía, no se dejen dominar por los derechos humanos, todos debemos pelear. Juan Chacón said thus, we must continue the struggle. Don't allow them to prevail. For human rights, we should always fight. La justicia fue su lema, por eso fue respetado, porque nunca despreció al hombre necesitado. Justice was his creed, that's why he was respected. He never turned his back on a man in need. En la huelga del 50, muchos fueron maltratados por la compañía injusta, vigilantes desgraciados. In the strike of 1950, many were abused, men and women, by the cruel company, by the cruel law enforcement agencies, dastardly vigilantes. La película Sal de la Tierra nos llega hasta el corazón, donde puso su alma entera nuestro hermano Juan Chacón. In the movie Salt of the Earth, it touches our hearts immensely. This is where Juan Chacón laid out his soul for our working class. Las montañas de Grant County fueron los fieles testigos de las luchas que pelearon Juan Chacón, sus amigas y amigos. The mountains, the beautiful mountains here in Grant County, are the loyal witnesses of the struggles that were fought by Juan Chacón, his friends, his brothers, and his sisters. And his wife, Virginia Chacón. Nuestra hermana, Virginia Chacón, con justicia en el corazón,
En las luchas de la gente se entregaba con devoción. A dedicated fighter was Virginia Chacón. En los minerales del cobre había una revolución. Y en medio del movimiento, nuestra hermana Virginia Chacón. Y nuestro hermano también, Juan Chacón. And that's el corrido de Juan Chacón, Kyle.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. Thank you very much. All right. When did you write that?
I wrote that in 1985. That's when mm-hmm. Juan, he passed away in February, I think February of 1985. And Grand County was in mourning. I remember going to the funeral and hundreds and hundreds of people. Yes. They couldn't. He went to, they lived over in San Juan.
Uh-huh.
I think some people call it Dwyer or something.
Uh-huh.
It's the original name, San Juan. And then the Church of San Juan, of course, it was too small to fit all in all the people. But
uh-huh.
he was quite a person, quite a person.
Oh, indeed.
And we were talking earlier. Okay, you know, that's in the past. I was in the 1950s and Juan Chacón. But I think the highest honor that we can give to these people is to continue that struggle to make a better world for our children and our uh-huh. grandchildren, and to make a better world for all of us.
Yeah.
Peace. I love your shirt. Do you mind if I repeat what your
no,
shirt
absolutely.
Says? Kyle is wearing a shirt that says, Stop the War Machine. StopTheWarMachine.org.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we really have our work cut out for us to make a better world, but we can do it. We can do it if we're working at it together.
I believe that we can. I think that the example here in this place with the Empire Mind Strike of what can be done.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it must have seemed, at least to some initially, like, we could never win this. We could never get
True.
Anywhere with this. How could we even possibly go against these organized and determined forces
Right.
that, you know, that have their own objectives, that have all already clearly demonstrated that, you know, that our welfare is not among
True.
Their concerns.
True.
And, you know, had been that way for, well, the... Throughout history,
throughout
you know,
history.
And of course, throughout the history of the United States, throughout the history of the Southwest, you know, when you look at the history of the movement of from the original 13 colonies and down through Florida and across the South and the Republic of Texas and the Alamo and the Mexican War and the acquisition of you know, all of what was carved out of what was Mexico, which was again kind of the under the Spanish Empire. All of that, when you look at that and think of these huge tides, currents that have, you know, kind of carved out the landscape that we recognize as our culture and our history. And yet here that was confronted. And a victory emerged through the simple determination of the people involved. That's very inspiring to me.
What an amazing story.
Yeah.
That was, of course, we all know that Grand County in the Southwest, Eastern Arizona, and Northern Mexico was a rich homeland of the Apache
uh-huh.
Indians, Native Americans.
Yes.
Many of us here in Grand County are
mm-hmm.
Share that Apache blood and, uh-huh. and other bloods also.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a rich culture that he brought to us, and you're talking about the how this land was carved out and
yeah.
and were carved away,
uh-huh.
were taken and stolen
uh-huh.
from them. But the people fought back. The people fought back, and in a lot of instances, as you said, they're powerful forces. Right now, the kneeling nun, which we in the Spanish language we usually call Nuestra Madre,
uh-huh.
Nuestra Virgen de Guadalupe, and
mm-hmm.
Some nuns started calling the kneeling nun back in the late 1800s,
uh-huh.
from when, and the newspapers joined in.
Uh-huh.
But there were prayers to our Madre during the Empire's Ink Strike. The people were, and
yes.
so now it's pretty much crumbling.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
We're just going to take another break. We'll be right back, and stay tuned. This is Gila Members Community Radio. We're developing partnerships with local nonprofits and civic groups that enrich our quality of life, and we're proud to do our part in support of their values and the goals they work so hard to achieve. Visit us often for regular coverage of community projects and events. All right, we're back in the studio with Dr. Luis Quinones. And you were mentioning about the, just in the tail end of the last segment, about the kneeling nun, which is, you know, another aspect of our history and one which is very relevant today in terms of the condition of it, what it represents to the people that have been here for, you know, centuries.
There you go.
And what is happening now. Tell us a little bit about that.
So much cultural significance. I feel like we're blessed here in what now is called Grant County with our beautiful forests, mm-hmm. wilderness, the beautiful Gila River, and the Nuestra Madre, Nuestra Virgen de Guadalupe, the kneeling nun that oversees everything from a cultural point of view. And of course, all the explorers that ever came where the, before they were the Native American explorers, Spanish explorers, Mexican explorers, Anglo explorers always noticed that beautiful rock monolith. Uh-huh. And it was, so to us, it's very, very significant. And there was a big move in the late 1900s, in 1999, around that era. And we had a delegation from the local 890 that actually went to Washington, D.C. to advocate for the protection of the kneeling nun.
Uh-huh.
And after that, then the mines closed. Some folks said, oh, they closed because they wanted to, they did not want that fight. And I don't know if that's the case. But, you know, mining is one of those mixed blessings to areas. Mm-hmm. There's some employment, but there's also so much negative that we're feeling now. We're feeling now through the pollution and water contamination. But the kneeling nun to the Mexicano, the Mexican-American, represents a religious icon. To others, it might be a geographic icon and a cultural icon to many others. But it's something, you know, we try not to mess with our blessed geographical features that we have in this area.
So. Yeah. And so tell me a little bit more. You had mentioned that you had a newspaper column, Opiniones de Quinones. Tell me about some of the issues that you addressed in that.
Well, here in Grant County, we were doing a lot of different things. We started our own newspaper, but before we started our own newspaper, an alternative newspaper, El Reportero, I was writing for the Daily Press. It was called Opiniones de Quinones, and I would touch upon some of these topics that that were bothersome. That were bothersome here. Some of the ignoring of cultural icons, for example, and our celebrations and our Mexicanness and our Chicano us, etc. So what we were doing a lot of we would celebrate our culture and throw anyway, Opiniones de Quinones was one of those things and I inserted a little bit of humor in there also. Some of them were serious issues, and both through humor we also addressed serious issues. But it was something that put me a little bit in the limelight here in Grand Canyon in our small area, if there's such a thing as a limelight in a small town. But it was fun. And then we started our own newspaper, and then we started the Mexicano Chicano Chamber of Commerce, which was more of a social justice group, and to do our celebrations, to honor people. At one time here in Grand County, they had a Citizen of the Year Award. And never had a Mexican-American or Chicano ever been selected for the Citizen of the Year Award. So that of course, was one of the topics of my Opiniones de Quinones column that was received well by some, and I'm sure those on the other side of the criticism were not very happy. But it was fun. And then now, you know, I mentioned that calendar that I do with the Raza Peace and Historical Calendar that I've been doing for 23 years. It's kind of an alternative Chicanos viewpoint of historical items, as opposed to a general writing our history or the president of the United States or a congressman. That's what we get in our textbooks. And mine is more about people.
Yeah, as they say, history is written by the victors.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they took our pens away, I guess.
Yeah.
They didn't allow us to publish our alternative histories. But yeah, that's correct. And unfortunately, some of that, a lot of sanitized history. So people really don't, we make the same mistakes again because we're not really cognizant of history. Mm-hmm. I taught Chicano studies also at Covarrubias High School. It was a beautiful, beautiful class where we touched a lot on critical pedagogy.
Yeah, I was just in the tail end of my high school. I grew up in Los Angeles. And it was just at that time when the ferment of the civil rights era was also something within awakened something in Hispanic community that had been, I guess, waiting for something to kind of trigger it. And there was the issue of Sal Castro in the East LA schools. And I was in my last year of high school when that occurred.
Wow.
This was at Hollywood High School.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that there were some, and I hadn't been there that long because I had only attended my last year. And there were some kids, students, that had stated that they wanted to support the walkout in East LA and among the Chicano students.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we do this? How can we, you know, again, as a small group, have some effect in supporting that? So they were intending to simply meet on the lawn and kind of throw some ideas around. There was not a demonstration. It was not anything near that. And yet someone kind of got wind of it, and the guys on the football team and the ROTC and the car clubs kind of, which was a faction in the school, showed up and were, you know, disrupting, you know, their peaceful discussion amongst themselves, you know. I mean, they were, you know, said, that's them, and they went after them. And so this, of course, caused a stir. People gathered to see what was going on. And, you know, as this started to occur, you know, I was not far away sitting on the lawn eating my lunch. You know, I stood up to see what was happening. And some of these antagonists were kind of wading through the crowd and pushing people out of the way. And I got pushed and I'm going like, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? What's this? So not knowing who was who and, you know, who the teachers were or what their sentiments might have been, I walked up to who turned out to be the football coach. And I said, this one, and this one came through. I saw them. They pushed me, and then they pushed these other students, and et cetera. But guess who wound up in the principal's office? It was me and the other kids that were, you know, that were actually the victims of it were the ones who were threatened with expulsion.
Wow.
You have to stand up when you see that. You have to stand up. You have to stand for your rights, and you have to support it in any way you can, even if it seems not that effective.
Well, a lot of those walkouts, the incentive, I guess, or the spark for that happened to be the Vietnam War.
Yes.
Well, there was a moratorium in 1970 where 20,000 Chicanos and support. It was anytime you have a demonstration like that, anti-war, you know, it's not just going to be.
Yes.
There were Anglos that were sensitive to that, African-Americans, Asians, et cetera. But then there was a police riot and people got hurt. A couple of people got killed, including LA Times columnist Rubén Salazar. And many of the walkouts were associated with not just the Vietnam War, but the injustices associated throughout society. So here are these people supposedly fighting for the country, come back, and nothing's changed. They're still treated as second and third class citizens.
Yeah.
So, I feel like almost any fight against injustice has started in this country by the youth have been in there almost in every single one. It's been young people.
Mm-hmm.
Our older people were very sensitive, but it's the young people that carry a lot of energy.
If I may, could I borrow your guitar?
Sure, I would love you to.
I'll trade you a song here.
Okay.
This is one that I wrote for Ruben Salazar.
Oh my goodness.
Say a prayer for Ruben Salazar. Say a prayer for Ruben Salazar. His life, it was cut short, but his memory will go far. Say a prayer for Ruben Salazar. He went down in Los Angeles, the victim of a canister of tear gas that did strike him. It should not have been administered. The children of the barrios demanding pigs for dinner for their dogs. Say a prayer for Ruben Salazar. Say a prayer for Ruben Salazar. His life, it was stopped short, but his memory will go far. Say a prayer for Ruben Salazar. Can you imagine what it meant to these young youths when they the verdict heard? I'll tell you plain, the whole concept of justice is to them absurd. They struggle to find value to life and fighting on full knowing they may die. Say a prayer for Ruben Salazar. Say a prayer for Ruben Salazar. His life, it was stopped short, but his memory will go far. Say a prayer for Ruben Salazar. I am shocked, the very seas, they do not rise up and strike down at those who are so evil and unjust, and yet who strike that noble pose. I sure would hate to be them on the day that they must answer for the road they chose. Say a prayer for Ruben Salazar. Say a prayer for Ruben Salazar. His life, it was stopped short, but his memory will go far. Say a prayer for Ruben Salazar.
Amen, hermano.
Thank you much. Yeah, I hadn't played that one for a while.
You have a good memory. Nice. Very nice. For a very, he put his neck, he stuck his neck out over there in L.A. because he was doing a lot of reporting on the abuses by law enforcement.
Yes.
And also covering a lot of the issues that were affecting Chicanos and Chicanas.
Yes.
And other groups.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you.
A hero of our times.
A hero of our times.
I think we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back and with just a little bit more.
Thanks for listening to Gila Members Community Radio. We're nonprofit, non-commercial, listener-supported, volunteer-operated, and locally focused. We appreciate your interest and value your support. Become a member and put the you in community.
And welcome back. We have a little bit more time here with Dr. Quinones, and I'm delighted that you brought your guitar with you today, and we very much look forward to hearing some more of your material. It's beautiful, including the funny one that you were just playing here during the break.
Can I give you two quick verses?
Uh-huh. Please do.
Jesus Christ was a man who traveled through the land, hardworking man and brave. He said to the rich, give your goods to the poor. So they laid Jesus Christ in the grave. If Jesus were to preach like he preached in Galilee, in jail, of course you know, they would chain him and they would torture him. And right now he'd be in Guantanamo. With all due respect to Woody Guthrie, I put a lot of extra other verses on there.
I'm sure he'd be delighted. He would be delighted. Yeah.
It's so. When Jesus came to town, the working fowns around believe what he did say. The bankers and the preachers, they nailed him on the cross and they laid Jesus Christ in the grave. Now the working people followed him around, sang and shouted, hooray! But the cops and the soldiers nailed him in the air, and they laid Jesus Christ in his grave.
Ain't it the truth?
It sure seems like that's probably what would happen, unfortunately.
Well, we just had passing of recognition of Martin Luther King. Oh. Just this past month, and we've played here on the station, we played some of his speeches, and some of which, you know, it's amazing how a figure even that lived in our own times can be so easily manipulated to represent a very, at the best you could say, it was a very limited representation of what he was about in life. Because when we think of of his advocacy at the during the garbage strikes and it was in Birmingham, I believe. Yeah. And reading his letter from the Birmingham jail, and more particularly the his, as you were mentioning, the era of Vietnam. And what led him, what seems like a, you know, like, oh, what are you talking about that stuff for? Yeah. But, you know, anyone who's actually understands what he was saying would recognize it as an absolute through line, where once you begin on this path of addressing issues of social justice, there's no nothing there that should constrain you from pointing out injustice wherever it is.
Wherever it is, a Martin Luther King paraphrase that hit me, along with so many, such a courageous, courageous individual, was a society that places more emphasis on war than on social issues is on the verge of collapse.
Yes, yes.
To paraphrase.
Yes, to paraphrase, yeah. But I think accurate in its essence.
Yes.
You know, and it's one that we have today, where even as we've gone through a period of horrible violence, military incursions into country after country, essentially destroying them. Yes. That and continues now with kind of a this resurgence in the Cold War, this whole thing with Russia and the Ukraine, and as if the United States had nothing to do with any of the events leading up to it. That's really an example of how much we have to learn.
We have so much.
And how much we could learn if we actually were open to understanding, to even considering what Martin Luther King said. I mean, he's one of our national heroes and a national treasure, and yet he's used so ineffectively, so marginally.
That is so correct. Yeah. That's very eloquently put. So,
yes.
Golly, yeah. Oh my goodness, yeah. Yeah, now we're, you know, helping to provoke civil wars. Let's do a countdown. We have a civil war now in Syria, which we helped instigate also.
Egypt,
of course. And of course Iraq.
Iraq.
And Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. Gaza.
And Gaza.
Lebanon.
And Ukraine now, we're on the verge.
Working on Iran.
We're working on Iran. Yeah. And so many. And democracies that we have allowed, you know, democracies that we have allowed to be undemocratized, for example.
Yes.
Just recently, Haiti, with Aristide, President Aristide, the coup there. They tried a coup in Venezuela, but the people rose up, and Hugo Chavez was placed back in power. Honduras here recently, democratically elected. And Ukraine, whatever feelings we have, the president there was elected democratically. So.
Well, things are conveniently overlooked as needed. Well, I think we have certainly, even though some of those forecasts are grim, we have certainly something to celebrate here in Grant County with the anniversary of the film, and by inference, the anniversary of the mine strike itself.
The resistance continues to be well and good.
Yes, yes. Well, just for those of you who don't know, March 15th is the day that is to acknowledge and recognize the film and the history that's associated with it. And many participants, the unions, of course, are the prime organizers and backers of this, but also WNMU and Grant County itself, I believe, and a number of other organizations are all part of supporting the 60th anniversary celebration. And they will have, I'm actually just going to take one moment here. You'll hear my voice kind of fade while I run over and grab the poster so that I can tell you in more detail what you have to look forward to.
But Kyle is very fast.
Here, as we undertake this, I'm just going to read off from the poster right here. Save the date for the 60th Salt of the Earth 60th anniversary. That's Saturday, March 15th. You are invited to tour the historic Empire Zinc strike site, the film locations where the when they made the movie, and more Grant County landmarks, and listen to the elders who were there. And that would include Rachel Valencia and others who still remain with us, and hear their family stories, because their descendants, of course, have been passed on the history and the personal experiences of their relatives who were involved. And, of course, view the film Salt of the Earth. That will be, I'm just going to read from the schedule. From 9:45 to 10 a.m., there is bus transportation to these events, and you meet at the Grant County Business and Conference Center. They're next to Ace Hardware, of course. And from 10 to 10:45, there's a coffee reception at this USW's United Steelworkers. Local 9424 Union Hall, and that's also local 890 in Baird, and I'm sure that you'll recognize it when you get there. There will be an historic bus tour. This is from 11 to 1 p.m. Historic bus tour led by docents visiting the historic picket sites and film locations. From 1 to 3, there will be a United Steelworkers-sponsored lunch and program of speakers, and I believe that will also be at the Union Hall in Bayard. And then from 4 to 7 p.m., there will be a panel discussion from Women's Auxiliary to Women of Steel, and this is to examine that remarkable transition from housewives to picket line participants, and the converse change from the for the miners who are out on strike to assuming some of the household chores to enable their wives to perform this vital function that no one else could do because of the legal constraints. And so that panel discussion will occur, and then there will be the screening of the film, Salt of the Earth. And once again, this was a film that was made by members of the Hollywood Ten who had been banished from work in their field during the McCarthy era. The author of the film was the author of the screenplay for The Bridge on the River Kwai, an exceptional film by any standard, historic and artistically magnificent. Also reading here, tickets are not required for the event. Actually, we have tickets here at the studio. So if you would like tickets, please come along, and we will put some in your hands. And you'll be able to attend this and all of the events. This is all free. And it's described as a seminal American historic event. The Empire's Ink Strike and Salt of the Earth are keystones of a proud heritage for Grant County and all of New Mexico's working families. So there are free tickets not only here, but in other places throughout Grant County. Wherever you shop, maybe you could say, do you have tickets for Salt of the Earth? And if they don't, tell them to get some. And this is sponsored by Grant County, the Grant County locals and families of the 1951 era, Western New Mexico University, New Mexico Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO, United Steelworkers, and Local 9424 of USW, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, otherwise known lovingly as AFSCME, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, IATSE, Motion Picture Technicians, Artists, and Allied Crafts of the United States, and Local 480, SunTreat Beverages, Silver City and Cobre Education Associations, First Impression Incorporated, and here's a great big Y-O-U with an exclamation point, because this thing could not be if it not did not live in the hearts of the people who live here.
That is an impressive list.
Yes, and the poster image is from the 2005 Members Region Arts Council Youth Mural Program. This is a little excerpt from the mural, titled Salt of the Earth, of course. So this is Saturday, March 15th, 9:45. The buses start rolling from the Conference Center next to Ace Hardware out to Bayard and the other events that take place during the day and morning and afternoon, and then return to Silver City for the panel with the Women's Auxiliary to Women of Steel and the screening of the film at the Fine Arts Center Theater. So, wow, that was a mouthful. And but I'm glad that I could convey that to you, and I hope that I'll see you all there. And I say I hope I'll see you all there, because if you see me, that's where you will be.
There you go. That's it. There you go.
All right. Well, I want to thank you profusely for joining us and for being a part. And let me add, revisit slightly, as I mentioned early on, Dr. Quinones was also a part of the organization and acknowledgement of the Salt of the Earth movie and the mine strike at its 40th and 50th anniversaries. Is that correct?
I'm so glad somebody else is organizing. It's a lot of work, but that's correct.
Yeah.
40th. As a matter of fact, also, just for that mural wall that's in the middle of Gough Park, that was that's in honor of Salt of the Earth people,
all right,
and the fighters, and that was painted by my students in 1994. And they said it wouldn't last, that they were gonna graffiti it. No, our people respect, all people respect cultural items.
Yes,
I was involved as an organizer here in Grant County.
All right, well, We're about a week away, so make sure you mark that. That's Saturday, March 15th, for the 60th anniversary of the Salt of the Earth. And I want to thank you once more for joining us, and thank you out there for listening, and I hope attending.
Today is in 1953, the Salt of the Earth movie was completed here in Grant County.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Today is the anniversary.
This is another anniversary, though, isn't it?
We have all kinds of beautiful anniversaries.
That's right. That's right. There's always something beautiful going on and to acknowledge and recognize. All right. Well, I think that will do it for today. And my name is Kyle Johnson. This is Gila Members Community Radio at gmcr.org and on FM at KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. Thanks for joining us. We'll sign off with that.